Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Some radio hosts go gaga over celebrities when they join the program. For me, that's biographers. And Jonathan Ike is one of the best ones we've got in this country. He's got a forthcoming biography, King Life, about Martin Luther King. Although, Jonathan, we were just talking about the Prohibition Ken Burns documentary, so you really fill both of our conversations here today. Thanks for hopping out with us.
Oh, thanks so much. It's nice to talk to you. And yeah, we should have just scheduled a whole day.
Yeah, right. You could have talked us through Prohibition. We were just reading facts, basically, that you told me in the documentary. But I do want to spend this time, obviously, talking about Martin Luther King here on this day. This book that you have coming out, has he always been a subject that you've wanted to cover more extensively?
Yeah, you know, it's strange. I was born in the mid-60s, and I grew up, you know, thinking of King as like ancient history, even though, you know, I overlapped him by a couple of years. He's only been gone, you know, a short time, and he would have still been, you know, he could have been alive. His older sister is still with us. So we need to stop thinking of him as ancient history. We need to think about him as somebody who's, you know, we're still grappling with, and we don't really know him. You know, we've come to think of him as this monument and this national holiday. We've forgotten the man, and that's really why I wanted to write the book.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I cannot wait to read it. And there's a lot of, you know, about his time in Chicago, which I think even having grown up in the Chicagoland area, we are not taught about King's time here. And I don't know if it's because, you know, it's so nitty gritty about why he was here and what he was trying to do. But, you know, we even gloss over it. And it's an important chapter in his life.
Yeah, no question. We should be teaching it to our kids in school. CPS has a responsibility. We all have a responsibility because it's not an easy story. You know, it didn't end well for anybody. King came here. He was the people threw rocks at him, and he was actually struck in the back of the head with a rock or a brick. And you know, he went to war pretty much with the mayor, and it ended in kind of a stalemate where nobody got what they wanted out of it. And you know, he came away saying that Chicago was more racist than any place he'd ever been. And you know, we're still dealing with the after effects of that. Part of the reason why the city is still so segregated is because we didn't listen to what King was saying when he came here in 1966.
All right. Paint us the picture. I mean, it was the summer, right, when he was here. At least that's when he spoke in Soldier Field. I know he ended up living on Hamlin for a little while. What was his movements through the city for those couple of months?
You know, he would be here for like 3 or 4 days each week, and then he'd have to fly back to church in Atlanta. So he was never living as a true Chicagoan, but He was boots on the ground in neighborhoods. He was visiting these apartments where people were living in slums in terrible conditions, and he was trying to force landlords to be more responsive to their tenants. He was trying to get the city to hire more people of color in important jobs. He was just trying to keep the feet to the fire, and he got a lot of backlash for it. You know, people said, stay in your lane. You know, you go back to Birmingham, go back to Selma. You don't know what you're doing in the North. And you know, he was trying to point out that the racism in the North was maybe better disguised, but it wasn't any less than he saw in the South.
I've been reading some of the original editorials that the Tribune wrote at that time. I imagined, you look back at them, it's almost hard to believe that that's a Chicago publication. Of course, it was the Tribune. But even making fun of or pointing out that Coretta Scott King wore a fur-lined collar, right? Like some of the commentary that you still see sometimes these days when you talk about activists and leaders. I mean, in some ways, things have changed so much, but in many ways, they haven't.
No, it's really sad. And it wasn't just Chicago. It was everywhere that King went in the North. Every time he started speaking out about poverty, about Northern racism, about the war in Vietnam, people told him that he should mind his own business, that he should stick to what he knows. Never mind that he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner, but people said he wasn't qualified to speak out on Vietnam. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, sad and hypocritical, but you had people in the North who were willing to fund his work.
Oh, looks like we just lost Jonathan there. Iridium will try and get him back. But yeah, I'm just reading about his stay here. The rent was $90 a month at 1550 South Hamlin, where he stayed, close to about $800 today. But that even in poor neighborhoods where the apartment was that needed massive repairs, lots of landlords were gouging low-income tenants in that neighborhood, in the North Lawndale neighborhood, obviously fighting for CPS and better education things along the way. And Jonathan, we got you back now. And I guess that's one big question, Jonathan Eich, is was his stay a success in terms of changing policies here in Chicago?
I'd have to say no. And some people would say King failed, that Mayor Daley got the best of him, but I don't see it that way. I think that King presented Chicago with an opportunity to fix some of its inherent problems, to address segregation in the schools, to address segregation in housing. And he offered a concrete plan, and the city kind of shook his hand and said, yeah, we'll work on it. And nothing was ever heard about it again. So I think we dropped the ball.
What do you make of this day and age? You know, most politicians will post favorably things about King, obviously, on Twitter. Sometimes they'll just take a line from an I Have a Dream speech, and maybe that's all they post on Twitter about it, or Long Live Martin Luther King, or something along those lines. But for some politicians, that rings a little hollow. I mean, his legacy is, it's an interesting even discussion today that some people have. I feel like in many ways, we've reverted backwards a little bit.
No question about it. You know, racism is not just still with us, but it's raging. And people who are cutting programs, people who are speaking out against affirmative action, are invoking King to do it. People who are cutting programs for the poor are invoking King's name to do it, saying that he was in favor of small government. Nothing could be further from the truth. King believed that government had a vital role to play, and that we needed the cooperation of the federal government to make the kind of lasting and deep changes in our society. And it's a shame every year on his birthday to see these politicians who are working against his dream, quoting him as if he was on their side.
Right. Before I let you go, Jonathan, I just try and think of the Chicago in the mid-60s and how many big figures, you know, lived in the city at the same time. You wrote about Muhammad Ali. He was in Chicago during that time. It's just fascinating how many newsmakers really were in our city at once.
That's right. And Chicago was really at the center of the revolution, of the struggle for equal rights. You had Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam operating from here, too. Ali and King were living, just a couple miles apart. It was a fascinating time. And it was a time of great hope. We need to remember that there was a spirit that things could change. And sometimes I think today we lose sight of that. We give up.
Yeah. Jonathan, I really appreciate your time here on this Martin Luther King Day. I wish we had more. We'll have to chat again soon, okay?
Love to do that. Thanks so much.
Yeah, he's such a great biographer. The Muhammad Ali one is incredible. I can't wait to read King coming out soon. And we'll keep you posted on when you can buy that and pre-order that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all over the place, of course. King, The Life of Martin Luther King, Jonathan Eich.